Yesterday marked the fifth anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. While that tragedy will always be remembered for the lives lost and the many people who were injured, for one marathon bombing survivor and one Army veteran injured in Afghanistan, it's created an unexpected legacy. WBUR's sports and society reporter Shira Springer tells how the bombing changed two young lives and helped bring innovation to trauma medicine.
There we go.
Army veteran Brandon Corona pulls up his pant leg, rearranges a protective sleeve, and twists off the plastic socket on the top of his prosthetic left leg.
It's looking good, Brandon.
Dr. Matthew Carty examines the end of the residual limb, poking and prodding the stump that ends about 4 inches below Corona's knee joint. Dr. Carty is the director of the Lower Extremity Transplant Program at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and he likes what he sees.
Yeah, this little wrinkled area, we're gonna fix that up, but things look really good. All right, things are nice and soft.
From a few feet away, Corona's stump appears like any other. But look closely, and you see muscles and tendons moving beneath the skin.
It looks like a bag of snakes. It's alive.
That really excites Dr. Carty, because what looks like a bag of snakes is actually Corona controlling his leg muscles as if his foot and ankle were still attached. The ability to do that creates new possibilities for Corona and other amputees like him.
I have days that I forget that I'm an amputee. Even noticeably now, where my phantom foot is right where it should be. I can feel my heel, I can feel my toes, and as I move the limb, I can feel that moving through space.
Corona, who's 26, was the second person and the first veteran to undergo what's called a Ewing amputation. During surgery, Dr. Carty built tendon pulleys near the bottom of Corona's residual limb, on top of what remained of his tibia bone. The pulleys help preserve the normal signaling between his muscles and his brain, allowing his leg muscles to function the way they naturally would. Paired with the next-generation bionic limb,
it feels real.
But if not for the Boston Marathon bombing, a Ewing amputation wouldn't have been an option for Corona. To understand why, you have to go back to April 15th, 2013. Audrey Epstein Rennie was cheering runners down Boylston Street when the bombs went off.
It was something no civilian should ever see, no mom should ever see.
Audrey was standing with her daughter Jillian and several other family members in front of the Marathon sports store.
Various members of our family all sustained minor injuries, but my daughter Jillian was severely injured.
The Marathon bombing left Jillian's lower right leg mangled. For days, surgeons at Brigham and Women's Hospital worked furiously to save it, and they did. The weeks that followed were mostly a blur for Audrey and Jillian. But between all the operations, medical tests, and physical therapy, they would find time to watch friends and talk. Talking helped them process what was going on with Jillian, and Audrey says,
we would also just marvel and talk about the amazing doctors and nurses who were involved with her care. And so the seeds of thinking that we wanted to do something out of our gratitude had been planted.
And the Jillian Rennie Stepping Strong Center for Trauma Innovation was born. The center's mission? Change how people think about trauma treatment, amputation, and limb restoration. The goal for patients? Better quality of life after traumatic injuries. Current research projects involve finding better ways to control life-threatening bleeding, creating skin allografts for burn victims with bioactive gel, and developing a portable machine that keeps detached arms and legs alive longer than previously possible. For Dr. Carty, it helped fund research for what would become the Ewing amputation.
And so for us, it was like the perfect amount at the perfect time. I'd like to think that we would have done it anyway, but I think it would have taken longer.
Like Jillian Rennie, Brandon Corona's lower leg, his left leg, was mangled by an explosion. It happened 2 months after the Boston Marathon bombings in Afghanistan. His patrol was hit by an IED. Doctors managed to save his leg, too, but all the surgeries left Corona in constant pain.
I couldn't walk around the mall without being in pain. I couldn't stay out too late and stand up too long because my leg would hurt. And it was a hindrance to my life. It was a hindrance to everything that I wanted to do.
Corona decided it would be best if doctors amputated his lower left leg. He originally scheduled a traditional amputation. That would have left him with a knotted mass of muscle and tissue at the end of his residual limb. But then he met Dr. Carty, who explained how a new procedure, would let Corona sense his prosthetic foot and ankle in space.
When he started to tell me about these pulleys and these muscle bridges that were going to happen in my leg, I was like, all right, that's kind of sounds cool.
Corona is now one of 8 patients who have undergone the experimental amputation. Dr. Cardi hopes that's just the beginning.
If it only helps like a fraction of a percent of the population, then it adds value for sure to that fraction. But it's way different if you can say this is a better way of doing an amputation, period. I can't say that with confidence yet, but we're getting more and more evidence to suggest that we may be able to say that at some point.
This time next year, Brandon Corona and the Rennies will all be on the marathon course. Jillian will be on the sidelines cheering along the Stepping Strong charity team. And Corona plans to be on the team, running. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Shira Springer.